not depend on just emotions. Life and destiny does not even depend on the sincerity of a man's heart alone. Life and destiny depends on your knowledge of God and your knowledge of His ways. Please don't forget this. Your knowledge of God, the Almighty, the Creator of the ends of the earth, and then your knowledge of His ways. If you know God and you do not know His ways, you will enjoy His presence, but you will fail in life. Please understand this. Results in this kingdom are intentional. Results in this kingdom are made. They don't just appear. They are made by a combination of spiritual laws. Like a chef goes to the kitchen with raw meat, rice, are we together? And all the ingredients. And you excuse that chef for 1 or 2 hours. The next time you come in, you do not find what you saw before. You will find the meal meticulously combined. And according to his prowess, he can produce, 2 people can have the same ingredient. And one will produce something that is regular and general. And another person will cook something that it looks as if an angel came to help him cook. Everybody's destiny is hard by default. Please understand this. There are no special privileges on earth by default. Life without the assistance of God, life without the systems of advantage is very difficult. Are we together? Life in Africa is very difficult by default. Whether from a financial standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, from an intellectual standpoint, from a sociological standpoint, it doesn't matter from what angle you take it. Life without the assistance of God, without the interjection of spiritual, the arsenals provided for by the life of Christ, is difficult. There is nobody who stand up to help you by default. Nobody cares for you by default that much. There is nobody who would stand up to see to it that what you lose is restored. There is nobody who by default will stand up to insist that you must make it. So everyone's life by default is hard. It is your responsibility. Like, everyone has the same potential at the start of a race. I hope you know. At the start of a race, there is no winner. And you don't take chances. You can only look at the antecedents of the runners to predict that most likely this man may be the winner. But everybody looks like a winner at the beginning of the race until the gun is shot or the whistle is blown. 1 hour later, a few hours, depending on what kind of race, you find a few people collapse by the wayside and you find the unlikelies. You just see them moving until they win. And nobody who wins will tell you he won by mistake. They will tell you, I prepared for it. I knew I will win. Are we together now? Listen, this conference, by the grace of God, within today and tomorrow, is, I trust that one of the things that God will do, more than just miracle signs and wonders, is to take away guesswork from your Christian experience. That means that God brings you to a point where you no longer fear. Fear happens because there is no consciousness of authority and control. The moment you are aware that you do not have influence over an outcome, fear becomes inevitable. The Bible tells us that there is a way God deals with fear, that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Watch this. But to replace fear, he gives us the manifestation of 3 dimensions of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the spirit of love. The awareness of the love of God can erode fear. That he that did not spare his son, but offered him freely, will he not much more? That means when you are aware that God loves you, because the classic character of love is giving. So when you are aware of the love of God, you are also aware that he would not withhold. Are we together? Number two, he says the spirit of power, because fear itself is a spirit. There is a personality that represents that operation, fear as a spirit, not just as a phenomenon of lack of courage, fear as a spirit. And then the Bible says a sound mind. That means something must happen to your understanding to take fear permanently from your life. What you do not know and what you do not understand will always produce fear. So when we begin to fear in the kingdom, our fear is a report card that we have limited knowledge. Our fear is proof that we have not been furnished with thorough understanding. So God designs conferences like this not only to provide for the power of God to heal, to deliver, to set free, but that God will take up the veil and take away fear from your life in the name of Jesus Christ. And it happens by the spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Please look up. This kingdom operates by light. This kingdom, authority results in this kingdom, are a product of light. Your light is come. Then it says the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amplified puts it in a very interesting way. It says arise from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. It says rise to a new light. That's amplified, because until then you are under the bondage of ignorance, the bondage of fear. But there is something you can know. If I looked at you now, this dear lady, and I told you, you just received an alert of 1 million, even if you have not verified it, once you trust that I'm not a liar, it will affect you immediately. Suddenly you will call home and say, I'm coming, expect me. Start rejoicing, don't even ask me why, just rejoice, I'm coming. The awareness of one information. Then if I suddenly say, April Fool, why are you annoyed? You are annoyed because your expectation, I changed your perception, and it produced an effect of confidence. And then I now told you I was joking. It was because of this kind of games that God left in scripture, that God is not a man that he should lie. That means God does not play games. He will not tell you, I will lift you, then later he says, I'm sorry, I just thought I saw you sorrowful and I wanted to make you happy. No, you're not a man. No, you're not a man. No, you're the God who opens doors no man can shut. You're not a man. No, you're not a man. No, you're the God of everything, no one like. Listen, it's not a special number, it's God speaking. Before God speaks, he checks himself whether he has the power to make what he says come to pass. Our lives, you see, my brothers and my sisters, are full of all kinds of deceptions of men. We are used to men failing us, so we think God is like that. We are used to men promising, come tomorrow and collect the rent, and then they say, I was not in my right frame of mind, please meet me next week. So we think God is like that. He's not a man. No, he's not a man. No, he's the God who opens doors. No, it's a revelation. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is doing in this conference. God is already shaking faith, shaking unbelief. Don't come into his presence wondering, can God turn my situation around? It's October. How long did it take him to make men? Did you not read in your Bible that overnight a man sleeps as a prisoner? My brothers and my sisters, he wakes up and by the end of that day he's a prime minister. Is it not in your Bible that a lady is mixed among other women, uncertain of her future, and with one encounter with Ahasuerus, she becomes queen. I believe him. I reject doubt and fear. Listen, four square, please hear me. You are not hearing cunningly devised fables. There is a God that can do what he says and can say what he will do. That when God's jealousy comes on your life, woe betides the man that stands your way. The Bible says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you. See, let me tell you, when God's jealousy comes on you, have you ever seen a man preparing to marry his wife, and then someone comes to bring one kind of information? He tells him, if you don't leave this place, I paid the dowry, you don't know how much I paid, you better stand my way. I have loved you. That when God vows to say you must laugh by the end of this year. Listen, there are times that he would do it for his name's sake. I'm saying this because God is going to be speaking things that will be very difficult for many of you to believe. For instance, if God tells you now that as you are in a rented apartment, you will celebrate Christmas in your house. You know it's very difficult. Listen. I'm just giving you an example. But now that I've said it, I know you are saying amen, but the truth is many of you don't believe it. God, we need to repent of unbelief as a generation. We have mixed ourselves with men to a point that we think God is a man. Let me tell you, anything plus God is the answer he chooses. Failure plus your limitation plus God equals whatever answer he chooses. Your little effort, your little mother in the village plus God can be an answer of global impact. Whatever he, when you put God in any equation, the calculation must change. This is the God that we serve. Please don't think that God is just a little higher than an idol. Don't think that God is just a little wiser than an idol. Don't think that God is just the smartest of the gods. No, he sits in a class all by himself. He's invited every other god to rise if he can. They failed. Listen, please, I want you to believe this, so that everything God is going to be doing to complete your life, whether it through prophecy, whatever it is, that you have the faith to believe and say, Lord, I don't see what you have, I don't know how you would do it all, but I know that there is no limit to what you can do. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. That's how much he loves me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Please sit down. Let me just show you one scripture for tonight, and then we'll pray. There was a year that I told a family God was going to do something for them before the end of the year. And the husband, of course, he was born again, but he very calculated, calm, intelligent, scientific man. He looked at me and he didn't want to embarrass me, but if he had his way, I could almost hear his heart. You're a stupid young man. Next time, don't come and insult our pedigree. And I saw the wife. The wife was afraid for me because she knows who she married. This is a man that if the word does not come to pass, he can arrest you. He really can. It's not, he's a right conscious man. Can say, don't play, I fight to the finish. So when I told them, it was something that had to do with his office. And by the very next week, they had told him he was going to leave. The wife was afraid. She reminded me and said, not that I don't believe you, please, I just want you to help. Just back. You know, people just try to hide their fear and say, don't back it up with more prayer. But what they mean is we're in trouble. Long and short, when the lifting came, it broke that man in a way. When he invited me over to the family, he said, Apostle, I want to tell you something. I'm a proud man. I truly am. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a proud man. But I want to tell you something. I'm sorry for doubting that God can do this. They limited God in the wilderness by saying, can God make a table? Please let me tell you something in the name of the Lord. Whatever you hear as touching the word of God tonight concerning you, please find a way of believing it. Find a way of agreeing with God that he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. That if God says it will, you don't need to know how it will happen. The same way you do not know the wind of the wind, or how bones are formed in the womb of a woman that is with child, so also you cannot understand the dynamics of his operation. But one thing you know is that if God utters it, his word does not give information alone, it creates. A lecturer cannot create, he will inform you through words. When God speaks, if it's not there, his word will create it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One scripture and then we are done. When you want to experience certain dimensions of God, listen very carefully. In a way and manner that will bless and move you and continue to see that dimension of him come and continue in your life, I want to show you a principle. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3, we start reading from verse 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord. Everybody please look up. The word trust does not just mean believe in the Lord. The word trust is a very deep word. Trust never starts as trust. It starts as faith. Because faith is usually in something unseen. Are we together now? I give you an instance. If this is the first time you are seeing me, and I tell you that God will lift you, or that I will give you ₦1,000,000. You don't know me, for instance. You've never seen me. You're not sure if I have ₦1,000,000 or not. So you will hope and believe in that hope that I'm not lying. When you get that alert, that testimony, you will add it to your archives. The next time I'm saying I will give somebody ₦1,000,000, while that person is where you used to be, you have left because there is a track record. Now, if I tell you I will bless you 10 times and I fulfill it 10 times, you no longer are trying to have faith. There is a history that supports your believing me. This is what is called trust. That means go back to your work with God and find out, keep the archives of his faithfulness. Please understand this now. I want to show you just one principle and we'll pray. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all your ways, this is the key. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. in all your ways, not some ways, your financial ways, spiritual ways, career. Take time to acknowledge him. To acknowledge means to place value upon. To acknowledge means to celebrate lavishly as touching competence. It doesn't just mean to merely recognize. When you acknowledge a man, that man is not acknowledged until you go back. When your pastor was talking about me here, he was trying to go back to just pull a few things here and there, testimonies of what happened and all of that's how you never acknowledge men without making reference to their history. You must make reference to what they did yesterday. This is Julius Berger, wonderful construction people. In 1999, they constructed the dam we now enjoy. In 2000, they did this. Ladies and gentlemen, with a standing ovation, let us acknowledge. That's acknowledgement. The Bible says, in all your ways. That means every time it looks like you would not finish, every time it looks like you started a journey and you're standing at a crossroad, please hear me, Foursquare. You will always, no matter how anointed you are, no matter how blessed you are, no matter how intelligent you are, a time must come in your life where you will stand in a straight betwixt, like Paul, not knowing where to go. Lord, where? What next? Do you know it is dangerous to start succeeding? It is harder to keep succeeding than it is to start succeeding. Because when people don't know you as a success, you are justified. But when you are high up there, there is more pressure to finish. And then there are times that your decision no longer affects you alone. It affects all those who are looking up to you. You are in ministry and now you are at a defining moment. And there are several people trusting your hearing God, trusting what you are about to do. One mistake can destroy the destinies of people. And you are standing like Moses. I know God told me. Are we blessed tonight? I know God told me to start a journey of an exodus of God's people. So they started. Remember how Moses became a hero for a while. The interesting thing about success is that it is in levels. If you don't know how to continue, the embarrassment will be more. If Moses had told them in Egypt, all right guys, I changed my mind, continue eating your locust, your cucumber and all of that, but Moses said, God told me, I had God. So when Pharaoh, by the mighty hand of God, allowed them to move, please listen carefully, they were so happy. Moses, you said it, that we were going to go out of Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey. They began to rejoice. Pharaoh told them, he didn't even allow their bread rise, gave them gold. Imagine such a leader leading an organization, leading a people. You told them God said so. They doubted you, they insulted you. But now many of them have to bury their head in shame because God had proven himself. And then they begin their journey. Please keep this scripture. Understand what I teach you tonight is a powerful principle that helps men finish. They're on their way going. Suddenly, they begin to hear the sound of chariots. I thought we won. I thought the victory was over. I thought after the promotion, I would not need any other thing again. What is this sound that I'm hearing that looks like my past is pursuing me again? I thought the sickness was healed. I even testified it in church that the cancer has gone. What is this symptom? The pain. Egypt coming back. Let me show you a principle tonight and we pray. Did you read in your scripture that Satan only leaves Jesus for a moment? He never leaves Jesus forever. He leaves Jesus for a moment. I'm coming. The sickness leaves you. I'm coming. When a spirit leaves a man, it goes through dry regions, looking for a place of refuge and not finding any. This is a lecture by Jesus himself. He says, let me arise, like the prodigal son. The spirit too will come to himself and say, I will arise. I will go back to my house. He's still calling you his house. psychiatra. You are in the job, but unemployment is still saying, I want to come back to my house. You are already married, but the spirit that produces divorce is still saying, I will come back to my house. You are still in ministry, and the things that you repented from and almost died from before you got born again. Pharaoh is saying, I made a mistake. Why did I allow Moses and these people go? Egypt, gather your mighty men. Let's pursue them back again. So you got to a point in your life where you got born again. You were on fire for God. Fresh anointing. In 6 months, you were on fire. Suddenly, the masturbation of yesterday, the limitation of yesterday, the dreams you thought you had conquered, you no longer have the dreams of seeing yourself in the village or anything. You thought you were free. But now, it looks like it's coming back. I show you a principle tonight. You call it the God of completion. Let me show you how men last in this kingdom. Let me show you how men sustain stamina. How men remain unbending. It is lack of this understanding that can make a man be in ministry for 10 years and yet not finish. This is what made Moses to also not finish. Is God with us tonight? So now, the nation of Israel, coming out of Egypt, they did not envisage the Red Sea. They didn't know there will be anything like the Red Sea. They didn't even know that there will be anything like the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. All they knew was, Pharaoh, you are our enemy. And now that we are done with you, off we go to the land flowing with milk and honey. Isn't it amazing that when you begin to walk with God, he will never tell you what you will see on the way. He will only tell you where and how the end will look like. Are we together? Yes. And so now they are out of Egypt, and suddenly they hear the sound of chariots, and standing before them is a Red Sea. Which engineer will begin to build for us a bridge? How many years will it take to bridge a build a bridge that will cross the Red Sea? Notice, they turned to Moses and said, Moses, I knew my joy of yesterday should not have been. Isn't it amazing that people clap for you today and turn and blame you for the thing that they once rejoiced about? You were the one who encouraged me to put money in that business. And look, my shop started, but now I've gone down. And you feel stupid for helping men find light. You feel stupid for helping men move forward. You are the one that encouraged me to be prayerful and to attend the fellowship. You are the one that encouraged me to leave my yesterday. And now look, the attacks in my life. Academically, I'm going down. Spiritually, I'm going down. What happens to you when your future begins to look like your past? When what you thought you had left, when it looks like you are done with your triumph, and now you are in a dilemma because yesterday is looking for you and tomorrow is not allowing you enter into it. Standing before them were the Red Sea, and then at the back, I tell you, the nation of, they were coming with chariots. And then they began to cry to Moses, and something happened. Please watch this. Every time the door of tomorrow refuses to open, stop looking at the door. Turn to the God of yesterday and look at the doors that are already open. Listen, I show you a secret. You stand before a door that refuses to open, turn your back at that door and focus on the doors that have already been opened. You say, where is the God that opened the door of yesterday? That the secret to the key, when you don't find the key to tomorrow's door, go back to yesterday's door. As you acknowledge him, you will find the key on the ground there. That key is what will open tomorrow's door. Are we together now? in all your ways, acknowledge him. Oh, when I was getting married, the budget was 2 million. I had 10,000 naira in my account, you'll be saying, but the God